time for the ladies to be heard. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the fifth episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I am joined by my sexy, very sexy co-host, IFBB pro figure competitor Chrissy Chin. Chrissy, how are you, baby?
Hey, Colette. I'm doing good. I'm still recovering from some serious leg workout, and yesterday when you called, I couldn't get to the phone fast enough because my calves were cramping, and I couldn't even straighten my knees.
Don't you love that, though? You know you love that.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I've ever had that bad, and I was like, honey, just don't touch him, and Troy's trying to be funny, chasing me around the house, squeezing my calves. I'm like, oh, you think you're funny? Wait till you're sore.
So cute. Well, you know, Chrissy, after last week's, you know, rather intense episode, I have to say. I mean, we were here quite a long while. We had a lot to do on eating disorders. We are bringing back some star power. We're going to lighten up the show a little bit here and talk a little bit more about the Arnold Classic 2009.
Yeah, we had a great episode last week, like you said, on eating disorders. And we actually got some emails and some PMs from people that commented that they loved the show and that they could totally relate. And there was actually even one gentleman that posted on the women's forum that said that he's been a listener of our show and that even as a male competitor, he can totally relate to a lot of the issues that we discussed and that he was going through a very difficult mental and physical post-competition situation where he found himself binge eating and then taking laxative and doing crazy amounts of cardio like we spoke about. So it's kind of nice to know that, you know, men and women both suffer from this, and it was nice that we had people on here discussing what they went through and how they overcame it with the sport. So we just appreciate all the wonderful feedback and everyone's time for, you know, communicating to us that they did enjoy our show. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, Chrissy, I want to talk a little bit about that in a second. But before we do, I want to thank our number one sponsor. That is ALR Industries. And I want to thank them again for all their great products. And I have to tell you a story about Chained Out again, as it's really a great product. I just actually was promoting it the other day at the gym when somebody was talking about BCAAs. But so my Mr. Sean Andros, Dave's number second in command over there, he pulled off this insane workout that they invited me to. And needless to say, I had to be in the city all day, so I couldn't go to it. But I have to say, thanks to Chained Out, I think he maybe survived and then felt good enough to further insanely go back to the gym. But basically, Chrissy, they started the workout at 6:30 in the morning. And, you know, Sean has this crazy problem with his stomach, who knows what, but he survived on Chained Out. Because without that, I don't think he would have survived the four-hour workout. They went from 6:30 to 10, 50 sets of squats, 15-minute break, and then 30 more sets of hamstrings. Went to work, then went back to the gym and did another three-hour workout that night. The makers have Chained Out. I think if it wasn't for that, I don't think the guy would have survived. I'm telling you, because that was what he was really surviving on, because he was kind of sick the day before. So, I mean, I got to tell you, stuff's like magic.
No, to get through a four-hour workout, that's crazy. Yeah, we've been getting some wonderful feedback about the Chained Out. It's the newest product release from ALR Industries, but we're selling it fast. And, you know, the thing is that it's not only a great product, but it tastes good. So yep. A lot of people are like, wow, the taste is actually really good.
Well, that's what he said.
Also,
he said when he got up in the morning, that's what he did. And it got him through because he just really couldn't tolerate really anything. You know, he didn't even want to tolerate like a protein shake. So whatever it's worth, man, he made 4 hours of a workout and went back for 3 hours at night. That's crazy.
That's a marathon workout.
And I'm not making it up. I am not making it up. He's going to kill me for telling it on the air, but that's the truth.
Did he take all your Chained Out?
Yeah, he did. Took it all. It's like gone. Hello, I need more.
Okay. We got to send Clint and Dave some more Chained Out.
Yep.
I'll let Lane and Arthur know. But, you know, actually, we will have Lane on our show next week, and she's actually the CFO and one of the owners of ALR Industries. She's a big sweetheart and a dear friend of mine, so she'll be on our show next week.
I think that's great. That's going to be good.
She'll tell us a lot about what's new on the horizon for the company and some new product releases that we've been sampling and trying out here at the office and absolutely love. So she can brief us all about
our listeners know how we love supplements, Chrissy, so let's bring it on. We love that, you know.
I'm going to personally bring you supplements.
Ooh, good. I know everybody, you know, we're having Chrissy in the studio on, what did we decide, on Monday, the 17th or something, Chrissy, we're going to pre-tape?
The second week of April, so probably the I think it lands on the 20th of
okay.
April.
Okay, so I can't get my dates right. But, you know, I want to also thank www.amysconquest, that's AmysConquest.com. He was nice enough to sponsor our show and gave us some money for each month. So I really appreciate that and believing in what we're doing. And, you know, he was thinking about sponsoring, and I mentioned this before, a bodybuilder, but he is going to sponsor, you know, bodybuilding and fitness and figure by giving to our show. And I think that's true. I mean, a lot of these guys are emailing me and saying, how can I give a person money? It's like, let's support what we're trying to do. And that's, you know, get our voices heard out on the radio. So I really appreciate AmysConquest.com.
Yeah, thank you, AmysConquest.com. Greatly appreciated.
You know, Chrissy, I wanted to comment about our last week's episode before we move on to this one. And, you know, the feedback really was kind of, you know, it was great. And I actually got somebody say, you know, Colette, I felt that you didn't take a strong stance in my summary last week and about where I was going. And I just wanted to kind of clarify, and Chrissy, I want you to give your feedback to me on if you kind of, after we thought about the whole week about the episode.
Okay.
You know, what I was really trying to say is that, look, if a woman is trying to get below 10% body fat, we know that women have 10 to 12% essential body fat, right? So if a woman is trying to do that for the purposes of a contest, okay, which is what we have to do in order to look good and look the way you need to look to win a physique show, then that is something that is unhealthy. Okay, it is. It's not natural. It's not something that is healthy for the body. So you got to know that going in. I always tell people as a nutritionist, getting ready for a contest is not exactly what I would give a normal person that wants to just be healthy. It's going about, it's an extreme sport. So knowing that, you got to have that open mind. You got to know that you're trying to achieve a level of conditioning that is not natural and that you cannot chase that when the show is over. It isn't going to be something you can sustain for a long time. So then what happens is you can repackage an eating disorder. And that's what I think our industry does, because they were saying I didn't have a really strong stance. But I think you have to really be aware that what you're trying to do is unhealthy, and that when it's over, it's over. And you got to resume some type of normalcy in your life, because you can't sustain that type of ripped, shredded, veiny look all year round.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, like you said, it is repackaged in our sport, because people want that look year-round, but, you know, health-wise, it is just not healthy to have your body fat, you know, under 10% as a female.
Yep. So that was what my thought was. But anyway, let's move on, Chrissy.
Okay, well, Colette, you know, we're going to move into today's show, and we have another great lineup of guests. So, you know, on today's show, we're going to have Heather Armbrust, who placed a controversial fourth place at this past Arnold Classic, and we will also have Miss Gina Aliotti, who placed a respectable second to the less muscular Zaville. And finally, we also have Ali Sonoma, who is the winner of the NPC Bikini Division of the first Arnold Amateur Classic 2009 for bikini. So it'll be great to have her on our show. So I'm looking forward to having all our guests today.
And I know someone on our question and answer forum had really wanted Gina on, so we actually made that happen here.
We try to make everyone happy, don't we?
We do try, Chrissy. We may fail, but we do try.
No, failure's not an option.
That's right. Failure's not an option. Well, you know, Chrissy, since we had a heated episode last week on eating disorders, we thought we'd kind of follow that up on our Did You Knows and have them be kind of related to appearance and image within our society. So this one is on dreams. Okay. So I think this is good stuff. I like this stuff. All right. So in Interpretation of Dreams, which I think many people know about this book, it's written by Freud, the four most common dreams of both men and women of all ages, and I have to agree with him on this, are dreams of flying, falling, being naked, and losing teeth. I love it. That's so true.
I know I've definitely had dreams of
being naked.
Two of those. You're dreaming of me naked?
Yeah, Chrissy. I thought the deal was, after listening to Emery Miller and being a nudist, that we were going to be doing the show naked. What's happening here?
But
you know?
I figured I would wait till mid-April to make that happen.
Oh, that's right, Chrissy. let's totally wait till that's perfect. Oh, my God.
You know, along those lines about those four types of dreams, you know, many believe that dreams are actually relate to our fears that we have about our physical appearance and also about death.
Dream analysts theorize that people who have recurring dreams about their teeth falling out associate tooth loss with old age and death, and are having anxiety about how their appearance changes.
Now, I know I've definitely had dreams like that, where I felt like my teeth were falling out in my dream and that I was actually crunching on like teeth that fell out in my mouth. And I woke up because it felt so real. So
I had those dreams when I'm at the gym, Chrissy, doing like skull crushers. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to fall on my teeth. I don't know what that's about anyway.
Naked dreams, which are some of the most common dreams that we all have, are associated with feelings of embarrassment and distress about our appearance and image within society.
That's interesting. Well, dream analysts agree that dreams involving falling relate to our fears about death and aging. I think every single person's had the dream of falling. I know have you ever like woken up and you're like, oh my God, you really felt like you're falling from a building?
Yeah, I've had that dream, and then I woke up because I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to land, you know?
Yep.
So then I've definitely had dreams like that. And then our final one, flying dreams, is actually on a more of a positive note. Dream analysts actually believe that if you have dreams that you're flying, they actually express your self-confidence, freedom, and also your exhilaration. So it's more of a positive type dream.
Good, cool. Well, Chrissy, let's talk about some did you knows that are relevant to the industry, because some interesting things happened this week in the world of our industry.
Okay, you know, I was actually reading on a couple of boards, and, you know, it relates to the Tampa Bay Pro Female Bodybuilding Show.
Yeah.
So was it canceled or was it not canceled?
Okay, it's very interesting because it's somewhat canceled, but what did you find out?
So what I found out on a couple of different boards that I wanted to share with our listeners and with you, of course, that the women are actually trying to raise $12,000 in order to keep the Tampa Bay Pro Female Bodybuilding Show alive. And then it was said on Unreal Muscle that they already raised about $8,000 for the 2010 show. And then on another board, they've actually raised $3,400 already. And that comes from people on the boards.
Yeah.
Namely, you know, even Debbie Bromwell, John Hawley, who's a big, you know, supporter of the female athletes, Ed and Betty Pariso, you know, one of the guys that we love so much, Big J One.
Yeah,
so a bunch of people have donated. But then I heard from you that, you know, you got a text message from someone and that you said the show is back on.
Yeah, now, Chrissy, this is, and I don't want to give the official word because this is kind of interesting, but I got around 3 random text messages yesterday, and they'll remain nameless, but they said, Colette, did you hear? The Tampa Bay is on. It's on. And I'm like, are you sure? And I think it's really up in the air right now because they did raise enough money. Apparently, there's an anonymous amount of money that was raised. We don't know exactly who, what, and where, why, but it's back and forth whether it's raised for next year or if they're actually going to have this show be a go. But I got on a personal note, I just got to say, and I want to give some kudos to Dave on what he's trying to do because, you know, at RX Muscle, you know, Dave right now and Species are really the only people that, you know, I don't know. We're going to be left with the only pro show this year, which would be the New York Pro. And Dave is giving out of his own pocket $10,000 for that show because you know there's a $5,000 sanction fee plus you got to give prize money.
$10,000.
Yeah, out of
we love Dave.
And I know,
Dave.
I know. He really and he kind of made a little note and he was talking to the women. He was just saying, look, you can give a homeless person money, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to eat for the day. But if you give a homeless person a job, they'll eat for a lifetime. And what he's trying to say by that is like, look, we got to support RX Muscle and what Dave's trying to do because he's really like the last hope. I mean, you can get a bunch of money. Chrissy, go right ahead. Get a bunch of money from a bunch of places, right? But what's that going to do? Is that going to sustain female bodybuilding? You tell me. Do you think that's really going to sustain it for every single year we're going to solicit money?
Wow, $10,000.
It's not going to happen.
That is so generous.
Yeah, I mean, and what Dave's trying to do is, I mean, Dave is looking at possibly doing 3 shows next year if we can get the support on RX Muscle, we can get the money coming in through advertising and what have you. So, look, I'm just going to make a pledge. Like, I mean, Dave, you know, loves female bodybuilding. He wants to see it happen. He wants to be there. But, you know, we just got to get that support going on and make something happen over here at RX Muscle and Species. And, you know, because we believe in it. So I think it's just so great that we were able to raise the money and if we can make it happen. But I don't think it's going to be sustainable money. So,
okay.
You know what I mean? It's just a thought. But
yeah. So people out there, you know, Dave has generously donated $10,000, but we would love your support also. You know, we have a lot of fans out there who
come on over.
Love the sport.
Listen to our show. Come on RX Muscle. Post on the boards. Make it, you know, bring all the traffic over there so that we can have a viable selling point to get that we have traffic and we can get these advertisers on board.
Wow.
You know, but with that said, okay, so we talked about the Tampa Bay, this whole thing. Now, some people aren't aware of this, and I know you know, let me just clarify what happens when there's only one qualifying show for female bodybuilders. How do we have enough to go to the Olympia? Okay, well, real quick, because I don't want this to bore everybody, but top six from the previous year's Olympia, that's who goes, top six. Top six okay. at the Miss International goes. Mm-hmm. And then the top three at each of the qualifying shows, which last year there was three. Well, this year there's one. So when there's one, Chrissy, this is what happens. The top six that qualify from the Miss International, they take the three down. So they'll take seventh and eighth place. Okay. So that's what, and if there are already qualified people at the Miss International, so the top six, if there's already qualified people, then
they
they're going to
take seventh and eighth.
Yes, they take seventh and eighth.
So doesn't that mean that Miss Isabel Terrell is actually now qualified for this Miss Olympia?
Exactly my point. So now they actually gave a formal phone call to Miss Isabel Terrell and told her, you know what, congratulations, you are going to the Olympia. Now,
how awesome.
What are your thoughts, Chrissy, if the Tampa Bay is a go? What are they going to tell Isabel?
Well, they can't. Whoa.
Right.
Well, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because they already told her that she's already qualified. So they can't say, oh, by the way, since now Tampa Bay's on, that we're going to take that back. I don't think it would be the right thing to do.
It's not the right thing to do because you change your whole contest, though. She could have done the New York Pro and qualified. And I'm here to say that I don't think that's right. And I mean, I have to go to hell for that, Chrissy, I'll go to hell because I just don't think that's right. You know, she could have definitely stayed dieting, done the New York Pro mm-hmm. and qualified. And she is officially been told she's going to the Olympia. I think that should not change whether or not they have the Tampa or not, you know, because it's just not the right thing to do to somebody.
No, after you tell someone that they've qualified, I can't imagine that them calling her and saying, oh, we changed her, you know, now that the schedule has changed, you know, we have to take back that qualification. So I just want to say congrats to Isabel. That is awesome.
And the only other rule that changes when there's only one qualifier is that when the next open show, which is the Atlantic City, so you've got the New York Pro and the Atlantic City, then the top three finalists, if they have already qualified for the Olympia, any of the top three, right, they're going to take a maximum of three previously unqualified athletes.
So
if the top finalists already qualified, the remaining two top three finalists will qualify.
Wow,
as well as fourth
wonderful.
Place.
Yeah, so, that's great.
So it's at least a nice thing to do when these shows are being canceled.
There's such a limited number
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, yeah. So.
You know, about the Tampa Bay, I guess we'll have to contact Tim Gardner, who's actually the promoter of this show.
We're going to have to, yeah.
Yeah, and find out what's going on there. So, you know, he put on a great show last year, so
it was
wonderful
amazing.
To have.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So listen to this. On another Did You Know, okay, you've seen those ShamWow commercials, okay? And I've watched it.
I
save a lot of money on paper towels as you go through them like anything.
Right,
always cleaning, especially the kitchen, you know?
Right.
But listen to this. The ShamWow guy actually got busted for allegedly beating a prostitute. He reportedly hit the prostitute after she bit his tongue. So
I can only imagine what he was doing to require her biting his tongue, right?
So both parties actually sustained injuries, and the police took both him and the prostitute in for felony aggravated battery. But prosecutors, you know, later they declined to file formal charges.
And the funny thing about this, Chrissy, is the ShamWow guy, and we have this big joke around here because I buy absolutely everything that I've seen on TV. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. I own it all, okay? And I actually bought one just a week ago, the ShamWow.
Oh, you did?
And the guy gets nailed by a prostitute or whatever the hell he was doing. I just found it funny, the irony of it all.
Does the product work, Colette? Tell our listeners.
It does. The ShamWow, man, that is one absorbable piece of, like, paper towel, whatever it is. It's crazy.
All right, I still might have to buy some then.
I know. Well, you know, Chrissy, listen. The next segment is, you know, you love it or hate it, but it's what's in the email bag. And I got to tell you, my other female bodybuilding friends are sending me emails left and right. So it's becoming actually very entertaining. But Chrissy, some of yours are unbelievable. And I'm dying to hear what you got from me this week.
Okay, I had to deviate a little bit from our usual type emails.
So it doesn't start with a P and end with a NIS?
Yes, I had to deviate a little bit from that because I was getting tired about it just explaining what these pictures look like.
Right, right.
So actually, I got another nice email from a fan of mine, and he, you know, starts off by saying, "Dear Miss Chrissy, you know, how he desires this, you know, hot, sexy Asian woman with nice muscular tone like yourself who's powerful and assertive to deliver me pleasure." So I'm like, oh, deliver you pleasure in what way? You know, so I go on reading, and then he's like, my major requirement, all right, Colette, this is his major requirement, okay? that I have to show him my glistening Stairway to Heaven. And he explained, do you know what a Stairway to Heaven is? If not, let me just explain what it is. So he goes on and explains, it's this nice, sexy hairline that runs down from your belly button all the way down to your pubic line.
Meanwhile, you shave everything, but anyway.
I know. I'm the most
listeners, Chrissy shaves everything.
I'm like, I don't have any hairlines, on my torso region, I like to be nice and neat, but his question was that if I wear 5-inch stilettos and then I firmly press them into his muscles while he lay just completely naked, just laying there on the floor, as he's gazing up at my Stairway to Heaven as I caress it, and that I yell these profound obscenities to him. So I'm thinking, oh my, what people are into these days. So I just found that interesting. And of course, he gives me his direct number to call him and just let him know how much I would charge him to do this.
And Chrissy, you're so right now on the phone. You know what I mean? You're so picking up your phone and calling that number. I mean, it's like, you got to wonder what would,
Oh, I already called.
I'm sure you did.
No, I didn't.
How could you? Oh my gosh. Well, I love the way these guys write. I mean, I got another one this is good. Because I have the guys that are officially good at something, so they admit it. I am the official oral inner thigh worshiper for the entire IFBB female bodybuilding division. Did you know that? Did you know that there's such a thing?
I didn't know there was such a position in the IFBB division.
Yep. He spends significant time exploring the wonders of your muscular inner thighs, using his oral abilities to trace the veins in your quads and inner thighs to the heavenly origin.
Oh, my.
And please budget your time. Because this takes hours, Chrissy. This is this guy, the official thigh worshiper for the IFBB. I love it.
Oh, I'd love to meet him.
I know. Yeah, you got to love it, Chrissy. You absolutely got to love it. All right.
Yours are always so detailed. They give so much description.
So description.
Detail on how they're going to do things to you and what you're going to wear.
I wish he left his number, Chrissy. You and I could just be, busy all weekend with these characters.
Oh, well, let's roll into our next segment, Colette. It's our forum email question. And, I must thank all our listeners and our supporters on rxmuscle.com that have posted numerous questions. And, we choose one a week to answer. And this week's forum question actually comes from the women's forum on rxmuscle. And it comes from Drexel, who I met last year, who's an awesome lady, a sweetheart. She's a bodybuilder. She's also known as Miss Guns on the Boards, and she's an NGA, FAME, and IFPA pro. And Drexel, if you're listening, Troy wants me to tell you that you're definitely one of the best natural pro female bodybuilders out there, so he just wanted to give you a shout-out.
We love Troy.
I know. So that comes from one natural pro to another. But anyway, her question was, how about you girls tell us about how and why you got started competing?
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll let you go first, Colette.
Well, Chrissy, I think to sum it up, because, this is like, I think when you really go back in time, how did it all happen? It's like, wow, I started training when I was 19, and I didn't actually start competing until I was actually 24, because, I wanted to finish school, I wanted to get my master's degree in nutrition, and I always knew I loved to train. I never believed in my heart that I could ever have that body. I just knew I liked to train heavy, I knew I liked to lift weights, but until you really diet and go there, I just didn't know what was really underneath. The body fat. Not that I had a lot, but I just, I've been training and didn't really realize my potential. And then I met somebody when I was moved to New York City from Michigan, and he actually was competing in a natural bodybuilding show and was like, why don't you try this? And I had attempted the idea of let's do a contest diet, and I just finished school, so I felt like that was kind of my time to finally be able to do something for myself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took my own knowledge of nutrition at that point and created a contest diet for myself, and I was actually I actually won my first show that I had done, and it became addicting. And I think when you do well, that feeling of that you get on stage becomes really, I always say it's like the highest high you're ever going to have. And, mm-hmm. and with competing comes some of the lowest lows you're ever going to have, but you chase that highest high. And then I felt it was like a performance outlet for me. And I loved the way it made me feel. And I loved that goal that you had every year and something to focus on and your energy. And I think lifting has changed my life. And I just couldn't imagine my life not having the gym as a part of it.
So you actually won your first show that you did.
Yeah, I won my first show. That's when I was competing in the NGA. And then I did my first MPC show, which was the Team Universe in 99. And then I placed sixth at the first nationals I ever did. I never did any junior shows. I just jumped in a national.
You just jumped in.
It was crazy. And I placed sixth out of 38 girls that year. And then I won the USAs the following year. I had a really crazy amateur career where I was doing really well. And then and that just became addicting. I just chased that high.
Well, that is awesome. Well, I know I love to watch you on stage. You're just such a performer, and you make everything look just so beautiful and natural when you're out there on stage doing your routine.
Thank you.
I absolutely love watching you on stage.
Now, what about you, Chrissy? What got you into this crazy world?
Well, I was always athletic, and definitely have a big competitive edge to me. So, you know, as a three varsity athlete in high school, you know, captain, I got honors, you know, on Long Island and county honors and everything, and you know, then I just started, you know, just weight training in the gym, nothing really, just, you know, just trying to stay in shape. And, you know, I was in school too, like you, trying to finish up my master's for physical therapy. And then one day I literally saw a flyer, you know, when I walked into the gym one day, and I was reading and I was like, figure bodybuilding a fitness show. And I had no idea about any of this.
And how old were you at that time?
I was 24.
Yeah, you're like me. Okay, about my age.
Yeah, so I was about 24, and I had no idea, and I was like, ooh, I wonder what this is about. And, it said the show was in 2 weeks, so I decided at that point when I looked at the flyer that I was just going to do it.
Oh, that's great.
So I just jumped into that show. I had no idea. I mean, literally no idea. If you saw the pictures, okay, you would giggle a little bit. Yes, you will. But, you know, I borrowed suits, and I bought a pair of, you know, little clear shoes, and I didn't even know what to do when on stage. I literally watched the girls in front of me, and then I just, you know, did what I could do, and I just jumped in it, you know, really not knowing anything, not knowing about colors, suits. And, you know, there's so much detail involved with figure competitions, especially, you know, about how the suit is cut, and you have a one-piece and a two-piece. And, you know, I just fell in love with it. Like, I was hooked. I was like, wow, this is another way that I can just, you know, strive for a goal, and, you know, it's another way I can, you know, it's another competitive outlet for me.
It's a journey, and I say that every time I do a show, it's like the journey, a test of my will, what am I going to learn along the way, and I always tell people and competitors, it has to mean something more than winning, because you're going to, you know, you're going to lose more times than you win, most likely, and it's you're just something about it, just keeps you coming back for more.
Yeah, and I think Sandy made a good point last week. You know, she was like, you know, as long as you present a better package and you get better yourself each time, you know, you won already. And I think that's so important for many people to realize because, you know, not everyone can win at a show. You know, you're going against the top of the top, you know.
And remember, no one's making $1 million competing. Female athletes are not making $1 million. Competing is truly for the love because, I mean, even what was the highest prize at the, what was the highest purse at the Arnold Classic?
Was it 10,000 maybe for the top winner?
It's not that much. And by the time taxes is over, you're doing this because you love it. You're doing it because you love it. And that just is what it is, you know? And, you know, let's take a quick 2-minute break and give our sponsors the time they so deserve.
Sounds good.
All right, see you in 2 minutes.
Muscle Girls, Inc. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Lisewski, IFBB Pro. You're listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
She is a model and spokesperson. She was also a UFC Octagon ring girl as well as a spokesmodel for the UFC. Most recently, she won the first Arnold Amateur NBC Bikini Overall title. Please welcome the beautiful Allie Sonoma. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., Allie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming on our show, and congratulations on winning the first Arnold Amateur Bikini Championships. I was curious on, you know, how you first heard about the NBC Bikini Division.
Well, it's interesting because I found a really good trainer close by, and I really wanted to enter the figure competition, but I was concerned with the size. I didn't want to get too muscular, so... Okay. He kind of told me about how they have a new division coming out. It's a bikini division. He thought that I'd be perfect for it because it's, you know, it's still muscular and lean, but just not as extreme as a figure competition. So I was like, perfect, sign me up for it. What do I got to do? And then it just kind of went on from there.
And you work with Kimoto, don't you?
Kimoto, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I've only heard great things about him, and I see him at almost every single show supporting his girl, so it's great to see.
Well, Allie,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, Allie, people, you know, this is Muscle Girls Inc. Radio, so we ask you all the questions. And I got to tell you, people think that these bikini girls, they don't train, they don't diet. I want you to dispel that myth. Please tell us about your training, your dieting, and that you're working your ass off.
Oh, I'm totally working my ass off. That's completely BS because I started training for this in December, you know, and my workouts are very, very extensive and they're hard. And, you know, I train, I do cardio every single day. I only take one day off and that's Sunday. And sometimes I don't even take Sundays off. Like, I kind of remind myself. I do cardio in the morning, then I do weights. Usually in the evenings, and I'll do like an hour and a half, 2 hour weights, and then I'll also tie in like high intensity interval training too, and circuit training, which is really good for your heart rate. It keeps your heart rate up. And on top of that, I do Bikram yoga. I also do spinning. I love to rollerblade. So I'm constantly every day doing something active, really active. If I don't sweat once a day, then I feel like, you know, I just don't feel like I accomplished anything. So, and the training was really hard, you know, it definitely wasn't anything to be taken lightly. And the diet was even worse. The diet is like probably 90% of it, and the
Absolutely.
Diet was pretty hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Allie, you know, Colette and I were talking about our first experience, you know, competing in both bodybuilding and figure, and we were curious about what your first experience was like as a bikini competitor. Were you nervous? Were you out there, you know, walked out there confidently? What was your first experience like?
You know, I was a little nervous because it was my first one. I didn't really know what they were expecting, what the judges were looking for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had a lot of people there supporting me, you know, friends and family and my boyfriend. And then Kim was there, my trainer. So he kind of just, whenever they were in the crowd and I saw them and I pointed them out, I just kind of loosened up a little bit because I was stiff whenever I went out there. You know, it's really bright lights and you just have all these faces staring at you and you don't know what they're thinking. So I was a little bit nervous, but I was excited more than anything.
What is next for you in regards to bikini competitions? Because what I heard was that they are giving away 33 bikini pro cards this year. I mean, is this something that you're thinking, you know what? I could see myself. I mean, I don't even know. I'm not going to quote this, but I'm not sure if they're trying to get ready for a bikini Olympia either this year or next year, but is that something you can see in your future?
Oh, absolutely. It was already my goal before I even entered, or before I even won, that I wanted to get my pro card. Because whenever I do something, I want to be the best at what I can do, and I was talking to Kim about it, and it can only help, you know, what I'm doing and the exposure and everything, so... my next show is going to be May 23rd in L.A. in Culver City. So
now, is that a pro Are you going to get a pro card at that show?
Hopefully. I think if I place in finals that I will.
Okay, so that is a pro. I know the Junior Nationals and the Junior USAs, the Nationals, all those ones are giving out pro cards. So, Allie, you should, I don't know what exactly you're, but you should do those shows because you're setting the standard. I mean, you should be doing the Junior USAs. I know they're giving out 5 or 6 pro cards there.
Yeah. I don't know if
the California show is giving out pro cards. I think it's a national qualifier for bikini.
I'm not exactly sure what the requirements are, but
Allie,
my trainer and I were...
Yeah, don't waste your time. I would go right to the Nationals and get your pro card, man.
Oh, yeah, I want to. That's exactly what I want to do, because I'll just feel like, you know, that's what I wanted out of this whole thing, and, you know, it could only help.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the Junior USAs is actually May 23rd also. So you might
want to talk to Kim
and just talk to him about which ones are pro qualifiers, and then to set your aim on that show.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've heard through the grapevine you really did set a standard. People are talking about your look, and that's the kind of the look that other girls are trying to emulate. Mm-hmm. And who needs to win another show? You already won one of the highlighted shows of the year.
Yeah.
Go for it. I mean, do the shows where you're going to get a pro card.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. My trainer, he just tells me what date.
Tell him you talked to those girls, like, Colette and Christy on Muscle Girls Inc., and they were filling your head with some
Junior USAs,
totally.
Well, Allie, you know, I was on your website, and it's a beautiful website, by the way, and I saw that you're also a former UFC ring girl, so I was curious on how you first got involved with the UFC and how long you were involved with the organization.
My website's a little bit outdated. I just want to add that. I'm working on rebuilding it, so some of the information is a little outdated. But UFC, it's interesting. I don't really know how I got involved with it. Like, there was some internet contest or something, and I didn't even know I was in the contest, and then I got placed in the finals for that. And I get an email saying, you know, you were one of the top 10. We're doing our little mini reality show in Vegas, you and 9 other girls, and it's for the next UFC ring girl. And at the time, this was a few years ago, I didn't even know what the UFC was.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
I was living in St. Louis at the time, and martial arts wasn't, like, super huge out there. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. So a few weeks later, I went to Vegas, and we had the little reality show, and it was a competition, and I placed a first runner-up in that show, and the girl who won got pregnant. So I took her spot, and I guess fate took its course. You know, I loved UFC ever since I was in it. Like, I was just like, wow, these fights are amazing, and I've always, ever since then, I've really loved the sport. I was with them for about a year, actually a little over a year, and I traveled all over to Ireland, the UK, and all over the U.S., and, you know, it was really awesome. It was a really great experience.
That's great.
And so I'm very blessed to be a part of it.
Christy, she's a very lucky girl.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of, I've had a lot of things just come my way that I'm very thankful for.
And Allie, why did you leave the UFC?
Well, it was kind of a mutual thing. They kind of wanted to switch up the whole demographic, I guess. And I guess the main reason was because I fell in love with one of the fighters, with Diego Sanchez. And, you know, it was kind of, I guess they thought conflicting in their eyes. They just didn't want the ring girls to be with the fighters. So, I just kind of parted ways. And I was like, okay, that's fine, because I can't be a ring girl forever. You know, it was a really good stepping stone, but there's a lot of other things I'm doing. So got to move on sometime.
Well, you know, what else, you know, I know that myself, I've got more to me than just that I'm a professional bodybuilder. What about you, Allie? Give us like some background about what else you do, like what other formal education you might have. What else is about Allie that makes you Allie besides bikini competitions and modeling? Don't you love that question?
Yeah, that's a very thorough question.
All I want to do is be beautiful. Stop it now, you know?
No, you know, there are so many things that I want to do with my life. And it's modeling is doesn't even scratch the surface. You know, I'm very involved with my church. I love to do volunteer stuff for Greenpeace and Women of Domestic Violence. I'm studying to get my bachelor's in business management. I want to someday own my own business, possibly my own hot yoga studio. And I'm studying teacher training in a month. So I begin that, which is awesome because I love yoga. It's completely just changed my life and the way I feel and everything. And what else am I doing? I just want to travel the world and just I want a lot out of everything, you know. There's a lot of stuff to do here.
And you're still dating your Diego Sanchez?
Yeah, we're still together. We're going strong.
Any future marriage plans or anything like that?
Possibly, yeah. We're talking about it.
I'm pretty bad today, Chrissy.
It's okay. You can ask me anything. You know, he's 27. I just turned 25, and we're like, maybe next year or the year after. Uh-huh. But right now, we just are, you know, we're very supportive of each other, which is awesome because he understands where I'm coming from as far as training goes, and he actually gives me a lot of tips, too, which is nice. So,
Do you ever freak out when he's in the ring and everything? Oh my God,
it's kind of scary. Yeah, honestly, his last fight. You know, but I am crazy though. Like, if you sit next to me, you will be deaf by the end of the fight. Like,
oh, I love it.
Everyone's looking at me like, oh my gosh, this girl is crazy, and I'm like, that's my man. You know, oh. I don't care. I'm just like, I'm excited for him, happy for him, and there is a little part of me that is kind of nervous whenever he gets hit because it feels like I'm getting hurt. You know, mm-hmm. But then again, he's very good at what he does, and he hasn't really gotten hurt a lot, you know, thank God, but he's been pretty blessed, too. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Allie, earlier you mentioned that you first wanted to do figure. Do you ever see yourself, like, maybe changing your training and putting on a little more muscle to possibly pursue figure or fitness in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe, like, if I'm in my 30s and after I've had kids or something, I would definitely consider doing figure. What really appealed to me about the competing was I was at Mr. Olympia last year, and I was so impressed by the way these women look, you know, and how much time they put into it. And I was just watching them on stage, and a lot of them, you know, a lot of women, they've had kids, and they're married, but they still look awesome. Like, their bodies are rock hard, and I'm like, wow, you know what? That's inspiring to me. I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what really got me started in thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a trainer, and I'm going to compete. So I would definitely consider it in the future.
So, Allie, when you were getting ready for a bikini, because I know that I had no idea what to tell girls that I was helping. They're like, oh, Colette, when I do bikini, what suit, what the... And I'm still confused. So here you are. You're going to enter the first NPC bikini show at the Arnold Classic. We're all confused. And I'm in the sport. I don't even know what's going on. How did you know what way, you know, which way to go with the suit, how you're going to even walk? I mean, how did you learn this?
Well, my trainer had a lot to do with it. Honestly, I couldn't have done it without him. He put on my color. I didn't even know I had to have color on, you know. And I was, like, seriously black whenever he was done. It was right. It was crazy. But there's so many little details that are involved in these competitions that I wasn't even aware of. Like, you know, cutting the water weight, like, you know, 3 days before and really, really tweaking the diet and the way the suits are and like the bikini glue, you know,
and
that
so
you
Kim,
put on.
Kim actually helped you with how to walk and how to...
How to pose and everything. Yeah, he did.
Because
he would tell me, he'd be like, put your head up, you know, smile, don't forget to smile. And he would just coach me throughout it all.
Yeah.
You know, he gets a lot of the credit because I couldn't have done it without him.
I've seen a lot of his competitors on stage, and you can just tell they just looked a lot more polished than some of the other competitors. So, you know, it's great that he really takes that time to help you through all the posing and getting you ready for stepping on that stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely helped.
So, Allie, I saw that you're a fellow Californian of mine. You're in San Diego, where some of my friends live. So what made you move to San Diego? Because I think you were originally from the Midwest, correct?
Mm-hmm. I was. I lived in St. Louis for most of my life. I moved out to Long Beach, out to L.A. area 2 years ago, I think. And I pretty much just packed up my stuff in my car and just drove out. And there I was. You know, I wanted to change, and I really wanted to just, I knew there was opportunity out here. And Diego actually lived in San Diego, and I would always come down here to visit him. Mm-hmm. And I just love San Diego. I mean, L.A. is really crazy and busy, and there's too many people, in my opinion. But San Diego is, like, the perfect balance. You know, it's real beautiful, and I just love the whole, just the vibe of it. So I moved to San Diego about 6 months ago, and I loved it ever since. I'm never moving. Like, this is home to me. This is where I want to have my, you know, raise a family and live forever.
So, Allie, I know personally, because when I started getting into the whole bodybuilding lifestyle and the whole scene, I kind of got lost on my own individual goals, because I think if this is my other dream. Like, when I moved to New York City, I really thought that I was a dance minor. I actually thought I was going to do some kind of modern dance or do some kind of theater work on Broadway or whatever. And then I got very caught up, I guess, and fell in love with the industry. Now, you had been modeling since you were 16. I mean, do you see yourself letting modeling go, which I don't necessarily advise, because you're going to make infinitely more money doing modeling. And I'm not sure if I'm giving you advice at the same time, but what do you see in terms of you still pursuing modeling, acting, other things besides the game of becoming a bikini pro?
Well, as far as modeling goes, you know, it's a short-lived career. Right now, to me, it's probably like 10% of my life. You know,
right.
The other 90% is other stuff that I do. And with the fitness stuff, I think now that I am, I have a little bit more exposure and stuff, and because I won the Arnold show, there's more opportunities for me as far as fitness goes, and maybe like supplement companies and different companies who might want to pick me up.
Yeah,
and that's great. I would love
that. Look beyond the stage. I always want to give that people,
yeah.
Look so beyond the stage.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, I would love to get, you know, I use all kinds of supplements, and I'm kind of a supplement junkie. I like to try different ones out. So, what I've done is, you know, I've contacted certain companies and said, hey, I love your product, you know, and then they might, like, pitch me an offer to do, like, their advertising or whatever it is, their promotional
stuff. I mean, look at what happened with Jamie Eason, you know what I mean?
Exactly, exactly. So there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of potential in the fitness industry, and I think it's awesome because I'm still pretty young, so I think it's a good age group, and plus it's what I love to do more than anything. Other kinds of modeling, it's not as enjoyable because it's, like, it's either, like, super sexy, it's really glamorous, or, you got to, like, cut a lot of weight, and it's just, modeling is kind of, it's very competitive, it's kind of...
What about acting, or doing commercials and stuff like that? Do you have an agent?
I would love to do commercials. Acting, you know, I originally moved out to California because I thought I wanted to be an actress and do the whole Hollywood thing, but I learned that Hollywood is not my scene. It's a very small circle. It's just not me. If I got offered, I have my SAG card. I was in a movie and I was in a few commercials and I did enjoy those, but, I don't want to do it to be famous. You know,
right.
I think that's the difference between me and a lot of other people. I don't care about the fame. I don't really care about it that much. You know, if someone did offer me, like, a really kick-ass part, like a superhero woman and, like, a strong woman who had to learn, you know, certain martial arts or whatever, I would totally do that. Because that's kind of, that's like me. I could do that. I see myself being, like, a strong woman as far as acting goes. But
other than that,
I don't know.
You sound really grounded. I like that. You sound really cool, really grounded. You don't have... a big head. You seem very real, and I think that's really cool.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm from the Midwest, so
am I, Chrissy. That's why it is. I'm from Michigan, so we're right.
Right,
so you have
on.
A different way of thinking about life, you know.
I love your Midwesterners.
We're all right, right, Chrissy?
That's why I married one.
That's right.
I married my little Kansas boy.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, Allie, we look forward to seeing you back on stage in May, and then what else do you have planned for the year?
Well, I'm going to continue my yoga teacher training. I am looking at locations right now to open up my own studio. I definitely want to do that, and I also want to incorporate, like, my own little gym and juice bar and kind of like a healing center, too. I want to incorporate all that. So it's expensive down here. It's like, you know, real estate's high, but... it'll happen in the future, I have no doubt. And then I have Yeah, the May 23rd show coming up. I definitely hope to get my pro card this year. I really want to do that. I'd love to get my bachelor's degree, too, but that'll probably happen more like next year because of the time. But
well, Allie, tell them.
Plans.
Yeah. I just like to stay busy, you know, busy, happy, and healthy.
Well, Allie, plug your website and definitely Kim Otto because I think he definitely deserves something for all his hard work. So give us your website and Kim's website.
Okay, I'm going to give you my MySpace just because I think MySpace is a little bit more, you know, updated. I'm going to have a new website called AllieSonoma.com, but it's going to have Allie-Sonoma.com.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a totally different site. Kim Otto's site is BodyByO.com, and he is definitely one of the best in the business. I always recommend him to any girls that are new or just have questions or whatever. He's great. He's done everything for me. And my site, my MySpace is myspace.com/AllieSonoma.
Great. Allie, thank you so much for being here. I'm telling you, our listeners are going to love this. You've really dispelled a lot of myths.
Oh, thank you.
Muscle Girls, Inc. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, author L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Species Nutrition.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Javelle Little Bunyania, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
All right, well, Colette, our next guest, turned pro by winning her class at the 2005 NPC USAs. She also won the 2008 Figure International, as well as the 2006, 2007, and 2008 tournament champions. And then she's also the winner of the 2007 West Palm Beach Pro Show. She also placed runner-up at the 2007 and 2008 Olympia and most recently placed second at the 2000 Figure International at the Arnold's. She is the very talented and beautiful IFBB figure pro, Gina Aliotti. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., Gina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Wow, that's quite an intro.
I know.
Is there anything else you can add to that? Woo, I'm sweating over here.
I think you got it all, Chrissy.
I feel like such a loser over here, Chrissy. Oh, my gosh. Well, Gina, you know, when I was reading through your bio and everything, I was actually excited about this because I had read that your father was a bodybuilder. And
yes, he was.
And so how did this influence your training? And then I just got to ask you, why didn't you go into bodybuilding?
Well, my father was a bodybuilder, and he started training me just with weights. I'd actually go through like a little mini dumbbell workout before I'd go to my all-girls Catholic high school, and I'd bust out the weights with my little plaid skirt on, and he would put me through a little 20-minute workout, and I really got into the weightlifting side of it, and then being an athlete, just got really involved, and, you know, bettering my physique and bettering the sport, and then going away to college, just focus more on my weight training and cardio and that kind of thing. So I've always been into it, thanks to my dad, and I just really never had an interest in bodybuilding. I didn't want to put on that much size, and I just never really was that interested in the bodybuilding side of it. So my dad actually informed me when Figure came about in 2003, and I was still kind of hesitant, but when I saw some of the girls that competed in Figure, I was just really drawn to it and figured, you know, I can do something like that with my genetics and, you know, my drive and ambition and love for working out. So I gave it a try, excuse me, and actually my father and I competed in my first show together, so it was really fun.
Oh, that is so exciting. Yeah. What's your dad's name? Because I don't, in just case our listeners have seen him on competing before.
His name is Johnny Aliotti.
Johnny.
He's competed with the MPC for several years, and then he's actually taken a little bit of a break, but I'm going to see if I can get him back in to compete at the Grandmasters.
Chrissy, we have to get him on. That'd be great.
I would love to have him on.
We got to get him on, Allie. We'd love that. That'd be great.
Well, Gina, I saw at the Arnold's, you were busy with your fans and stuff, so I couldn't get over to you, but I saw that you were selling your new DVD, and I wanted you to tell a little our listeners about your training and nutrition DVD that you have available for sale now.
Yeah, I have a training and nutrition DVD available, and it came out right after the Arnold this year. I've been working on it. Actually, it was supposed to come out before last year's Arnold, and I was happy that it was delayed a little bit because I was able to put a little bit more time into it and add a few other segments. And it's a very well-rounded DVD that includes two different nutritional segments with me cooking, and includes a track workout and me working out just with my, you know, basic workouts, and then also a circuit training before I left for the Arnold. And then, of course, throughout the DVD, you get little bits and pieces of inside my life and different tricks and things that I do getting ready for a show, and then off season as well. So I've been getting a lot of great feedback, and it's just a really well-rounded DVD.
Okay, and then our listeners can purchase it off your website, correct?
Correct. Yeah, they can purchase it off my website and also view a mini trailer on the homepage of my website.
And your website's www.ginaaliotti.com, right?
Correct. Okay. Or .net, either or.
.net, okay. Well, you know, it has been said that you are one of the more muscular Figure competitors, which I love.
Me too.
And Chrissy's right there along with me.
Thank you.
Tell us about your training. I mean, what's your style? Are you hardcore? Are you more reps? Just give us a little bit of an insight on that.
You know, it's kind of funny. Genetically, I'm just more muscular. I've always been a more muscular girl. But genetically, my lower body always tended to be a little bit more muscular than my upper. So getting into Figure, I just, you know, just kind of learning the ropes and just trained. I've trained many different ways, but I started just by doing more of a variety of training, and then getting more into it, learned that, okay, for symmetry reasons, I need to balance out my physique and train my upper body a little bit heavier in order to balance my upper to my lower body. So I trained, I would say, more like a bodybuilder to begin with for my upper body, just to increase the size. But believe it or not, I don't train my legs, and I really never have. I train hamstrings and glutes, but never trained quads. So That'd be all genetics right there, and then of course from sports and just doing, you know, just running and cardio and stuff like that. But as far as my training, I did upper body heavy, and then now it's really all maintenance. So I don't train like a bodybuilder whatsoever anymore. Really, I train like an athlete. A lot of circuit stuff, really lightweight. Believe it or not, that's really my workouts now. So at one point I did train more like a bodybuilder, but now things have shifted and I'm more in the maintenance mode.
Well, meanwhile, Gina, I was in the gym doing like 7 sets of squats, getting up to like 315, and my legs still are probably not as good as yours. So I don't know what to tell you. It's not fair.
Yeah, she has gorgeous quads. I love your quads, they're awesome. Gina.
Yeah, I have to be careful that they don't, you know, that I have to really be careful and I have to walk lightly on stage. And it's just, it kills me because no matter what I do, I cannot get them down. So it's a good thing, but I have to be careful because it can kind of be overpowering if I'm not too careful.
Well, Gina, I know that, you know, prepping for my shows, I always get the feedback from the judges on what I need to change. And they're like, you know, watch out for your muscle. You don't want to put on too much more muscle and don't come in as hard. When you prep for your shows now, do you ask them what they want, or do you just bring in your best package?
You know, I do a little bit of both. I of course at first would, you know, get the feedback from the judges, and I still like to hear what they have to say, and you know, and I take that to heart, and I incorporate different things into my training to kind of, you know, to bring a different package. But at the same time, I do this for myself, and I do this, you know, because I love
the sport, and I love training, and I love, I just love everything about it. So really, I bring the package that I feel works best on my body. And now, after competing for several years, I feel like I've really found that look. And I've tried different looks. You know, last year for the Olympia, I came in a little bit softer, a little bit more mainstream, if that's the right word, but I wasn't as hard, and I tried that look, and I've tried harder looks, and I've kind of tried different looks, and gotten feedback from the judges, and the consensus is that I just really like myself in a more conditioned manner and a more conditioned look. I feel more comfortable in that with that type of physique. So I just really do what I how I feel comfortable, and then that way I'm able to kind of shine on stage and bring that confidence. Because if I bring a physique that I'm not 100% confident in, then it will definitely shine on or show on stage. So throughout the training, you know, I listen to the advice and the feedback that they give me, and then I incorporate that with kind of what I believe I like, you know, best on my physique, and then I bring that package to the stage.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I think you're right. You have to feel good about you on that. You can tell when people feel good about how they look on that stage.
Yeah,
it just comes across.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, Gina, you have a background in gymnastics and dance, and my question is, why not pursue fitness?
You know what? I thought about it when they allowed us to cross over for a couple shows a year, but I wasn't in gymnastics for very long. I actually was chased out by the boys. So I only was in gymnastics until I was about 5 or 6 years old, and so I don't have enough of a background. I am very athletic, so I'm sure with classes and in different, you know, dance classes, I could pick up on some skills and possibly compete in fitness. But, you know, I just don't think you'll ever see me on the fitness stage. It's just way too complex. I give those girls so much credit.
Oh, I know.
Gina, I also noticed that you have your G-Fit activewear, and I always have the hardest time looking for nice-looking sportswear to wear out, to wear to the gym, and I was really fascinated by some of the stuff that you have on there, and I was wondering how you went about designing the clothes you have on your site, and if you can tell listeners how they can purchase some of the clothing.
Yes, I do have a clothing line, G-Fit Sportswear, and it has its own website, gfitsportswear.com. And I've been working on this this line for about 2 years now. My mom came on board about a year ago, and we've been working really hard on it and perfecting our cuts and fabrics and just so much that goes into it. And we finally launched the site, and it's out. And we have our clothes manufactured here in the United States, actually in L.A., and just worked really hard to fine-tune our patterns and everything, and I'm really happy with the outcome. We've been getting great feedback, and it caters to all types of women. It's not like your typical Brazilian line that is, you know, one size fits all, or it actually fits up to size 12 as of now. So we go all the way from an extra small, which would be a size 0 to 2, all the way up to size 12. So it really caters to all different types of women and shapes and sizes. And just really excited about it. I started the line because I had such a hard time finding workout clothes that fit my body right and that I felt flattered my physique, having, you know, bigger legs and a tiny waist, and just always had that issue with finding the right clothes that fit my body. So just really excited to have a line that I can tailor to, you know, all different types of shapes and sizes.
And Gina, is that gfitclothing.com? I mean, give me the URL.
It's GFit Sportswear. GFit,
all one word, so no D.
Yes.
Okay, GFitSportswear.com.
Correct.
Yeah, your mom and yourself have done a great job. I was like, wow, I love the look of the clothing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's taken some time, but, you know, I was just so happy that we took our time and have done it all right and just learned throughout the process, and we're real happy with the outcome.
Well, Gina, I have to ask you this question because it's similar to a little bit of my background. I actually have a BS in dietetics, and I saw that you have one in food and nutrition. So I know that we kind of went through the same types of questions near the end of our degree where they asked me, so Colette, are you going to take, I was either going to do medical school or I was going to go and become a registered dietitian. So I went all the way and I got my master's in clinical nutrition and then did a combined internship so I could get my RD. Why not do that? Why didn't you go all the way?
You know, it's never too late. I started in foods and nutrition, and I actually was contemplating going to nursing school. And so it was kind of between, okay, going dietetics or nursing school.
So did the counselor sit you down? I remember they're sitting me down. Now, Colette, what do you want to do? I'm like, you know, I had to make that decision.
Yeah, you know, and especially I went to San Diego State, so we had to make that decision because it basically made a difference in what classes we took our last couple years. So, but you know what? To be honest with you, I started competing and I started my own business and personal training and helping girls and women with nutrition. And one thing led to another, and my business just started taking off. So, when I was a freshman, my business was taking off. So all throughout my college years, you know, I had my own business and I was doing well. And just one thing led to another, and I just found that I was able to. Now, of course, I believe in having degrees and whatnot, but just one thing led to another, and I just decided after my senior year that I was going to continue with my competing and keep running my business and then starting my clothing line. And I just kind of took more of the entrepreneurial route. And, you know, like I said, it's never too late. I may go back and get my RD, or I may even go back and get my become a registered nurse. I'm still not sure, but as of right now, I'm just really enjoying running my own business and with the clothing line and my own training business, and I just really have enjoyed that.
If you ever want to call me up and let me tell you how horrible every day of my life was when I was going through my internship, I'm more than willing to share that with you. Every day I went, I would say to myself, you know how the only way I got through my internship was every day when I went home, I said, I'm just not going to come back. No one's forcing me to do this. I'm just not going to come every single day. I did go back every single day. I did finish, but oh God, Allie, it was, yeah. Anytime you want to, I can tell you stories that would just, oh my God.
Oh, I've heard stories. I have. And you know what kills me is everyone thinks that, oh, you're a foods major. Oh, it's so easy. And oh, let me tell you, it was challenging. It was very, very tough. So.
No idea. I had no sleep and I had to read for my preceptors for each day. So when you go through each round, like almost like a medical student, and I could not read these things. There's a huge amounts of reading, and I would get there and I'd be half asleep. I learned how to fall asleep with my eyes open, and the doctor would be like, so Colette, what are you going to do with this guy who had a burn and he needs TPN? I'm like going, oh my God, oh, I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I started making stuff up, and it must have sounded good because I made it through.
Well, Gina, we just heard the wonderful news on IsaacSiteHardBody.com that you got engaged, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it just sounded so romantic, so I wanted you to tell our listeners because, you know, you got engaged at one of the most romantic, beautiful places in Central Park. So I wanted you to tell listeners how it happened and what you were feeling.
Yes, we love
that.
A little romance.
I know. I love this stuff.
Okay, well, fiance, Michael Silva and I, we went to New York City after the Arnold. We always take a trip after the shows, and he took me to Central Park, and we went on a carriage ride, and which was beautiful. It was my first time in New York, and then went to lunch at Tavern on the Green, and as I sat down, there was a menu on the table that said, "Will you marry me, Gina?"
Aww.
And it was just so sweet, and it was just such a surprise, and I had no clue. I mean, we've talked about it, but I really had no idea when it was happening, so it was quite a surprise.
I think Jeff, the producer, is taking notes, Christy. I just
Did
saw him
he?
Writing something down.
Yeah, it was. It was such a great proposal.
That's good. That's definitely good.
Thank you.
Well, Gina, you recently placed an impressive second place and at the 2009 Figure International. And how did you feel about that? I mean, I know you came in, it's interesting because you and Zaville have very different looks. So what does that leave you in your mind for the Olympian for next year's international?
Well, like we touched on earlier, you know, I believe the best physique that I've brought to the stage thus far. And you can't compare my physique to Zaville's physique at all. I mean, we are totally like apples and oranges. So I really, really felt good going into the Arnold. I knew that I had done all my homework and, you know, I was conditioned and I just felt amazing. And coming to the Arnold, I just knew, you know, regardless of what happens, I did everything that I could and I felt so good with the body that I was bringing. And I felt like I did my homework and whatever happens, happens. And that was really my attitude going into it. And now if you ask me, you know, how do you feel about it? I feel awesome. I feel like I did everything I could. I look at pictures and I wouldn't have done anything different. And I was very, very happy. I couldn't have been happier.
So you're not going to change your thoughts and say, oh, well, obviously if Zaville wins, I got to, you know, I mean, you're not going to do any of that stuff. You're going to still be Gina. That's because I hope you do, because your body is amazing.
I am, and thank you. And the thing is, you know, I brought what I felt looks best on my body, a little tighter, you know, a little tighter physique. And, you know, my shoulders weren't as round as last year's Arnold, so I kind of felt like it was kind of in the middle of last year's Olympia and the Arnold. So it was kind of right there in the middle, and that's the look that I feel most comfortable in, and I think looks the best on me. And so you will see that physique. I'm going to bring that same type of body to the Olympia this year. And you never know, because I'm going to be up against different girls. You know, there were girls that weren't on the Arnold stage, Jen Gates and Jenny Lynn. And of course, Adele, unfortunately, couldn't make the Arnold stage. But, you know, there's girls out there that do carry a little bit more muscle. So when I stand up against them, I won't look so overpowering as maybe I did at the Arnold.
It will be interesting. I can't wait.
Yes, it will. I'm really excited.
Gina, I noticed, you know, I often see you judging shows here locally in California, and I want to know when you started judging and what made you decide to become an NPC judge.
You know what? I started judging about 3 years ago, and I've just kind of, John Lindsay and I have become very good friends over the years, and just being at all the shows, and, you know, my dad was competing. I've just been at all the shows and just gotten to know John Lindsay very well, and he asked me if I wanted to start judging, and I started test judging, and then before you know it, 3 shows later, I was judging, and then now I'm actually the head judge for the women's figure, and then now for bikini. So I've just kind of climbed up the ranks just little by little, and just over the years, just being at the shows and getting to know John, and it's been a great experience, and I really enjoy helping the girls, and believe it or not, it's really helped with my own competing, just seeing, you know, what shows on stage, and it's really helped with my own experience.
Well, Gina, we had on, I don't even know what show me and Chrissy were doing, maybe it was last week, but, you know, something about these women's chairs and all these positions and female representatives, and then it was so interesting, we saw on your website that you're the NPC Women's Chair for Southern California. What is this position? How do you get this? And how would you even get involved to being one of these women's chairs?
You know what? That's actually a good question. Just being acquaintance with John and just learning the ropes of the shows and judging, he actually appointed me the women's chair about a year ago, and I just kind of fallen in that position. So I with that position, it just means, you know, that you're just representing the sport, and you know, I'm the head judge, so it's just been a position that I've fallen into, and there's not much more to it than that. It's just being a good representation for the sport and kind of being that leader and that role model for the girls.
So, Chrissy, I figured out that these positions, I think, are more appointed. Don't you think so, Chrissy? I don't think it's something that's voted on. I think that you're kind of given the opportunity and mm-hmm. you either choose to take it or not.
And I
believe that. I do believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, talking about some hot stuff. All right, Gina, Colette and I saw your layout in Flex Magazine, and wow, we were like, wow, those are some hot pictures. So we were wondering who came up with the concept for that shoot, and did you get paid for the shoot?
You know, it wasn't a paid shoot, but it was Terry Goodlad was the photographer, and it was done here in San Diego, actually at a local hotel. It looks like it was done in the tropics, but it was one of, and then the beach part of the shoot was done in La Jolla, so it was, I'm so excited about that layout. I think it's one of my best shoots.
Definitely.
I would have to say it's my best.
When you saw those shots, were you like, oh my gosh, that's me? I mean, not that I'm just saying, because I do that. You know what I mean? And it was hot, man. It was a hot layout.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Well, you know, it is true. I mean, because you do get a lot of shots that are really good, but sometimes you're like, oh, my eyes, or, you know, oh, my mouth. There's always something, mm-hmm. you know, And with this, Terry just really, he taught me how to be a model. You know, you go into a lot of photo shoots, and sometimes, you know, you don't really know how to stand or what, you know, how to look into the camera or how to give that facial expression. And shooting with Terry was just such a great experience, because he really taught me kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, how to look and what to kind of put in your head. And just it was more of a learning experience for me than I've had in the past, and it's really, and you can see it in the photos, you know, you can really tell that he had an impact in my posing and my eyes and how I stood and stay and listened to the camera, and those are just different skills now that I'll take with me to all my photo shoots. So it was such an awesome spread, and I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah, I think Chrissy right now in the bathroom, I think that the Flex magazine is conveniently opened up to that spread, Chrissy.
Troy is looking at it.
Oh, Jeff, the producer back there. Oh, Dave.
There?
They've been in the bathroom a little. Just joking. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, that one's definitely going in the frame.
Right, definitely. It's good. It's definitely good.
Yeah, Terry is just so talented. I've seen a lot of his work, and I've told him, you know, when I've talked to him at dinner one night, I was like, wow, you're just such
you know, so talented in what you do, and it's just reflected in, you know, the pictures you take. So
because
it's another example of a great shoot.
You know, a good photographer, they got to make you, I mean, they have to have a vision. You know, anybody can snap a camera, let's face it. But if you don't have a vision and they don't have the passion and they're not seeing a concept, it's just like it's lost. It means nothing. It's just photos.
Exactly. Yeah, Terry knows how to bring out your personality,
which is
really hard to do.
Gina, we were wondering what's next in terms of competition for you. Are you going to wait for the Olympia, or will we see you on the stage before that?
As of right now, I mean, of course, things can change, but as of right now, I'm going to wait till the Olympia, and then I'm going to talk to JM, but it looks like the Tournament of Champions, which has always been before the Olympia, is no longer holding a pro show, so they actually have moved the pro show to the Border Stage, which is going to be here in San Diego 2 weeks after the Olympia, and after the Olympia, I'm going to talk to JM and see if that's something that you know, we decide that I do, being that it is my hometown, and you know, it's only 5 minutes from my house, so why not? So hopefully, you know, after the Olympia, I'll step on stage at the Border States and see what I can do there. So, but as of right now, my next show will be the Olympia. So I have about 4 months off, and I'm looking forward to some time off and then to hit it hard again and see what we can do this year at the Olympia.
Awesome.
Well, we're always very impressed with what you bring on stage. And I've told you before, I just love, you know, the degree of muscularity you have, and your conditioning is always phenomenal, so... Big props to you.
Yep, you're a great role model, Gina. And with that said, would you like to just quickly go through some of the websites that you'd like to promote so that our listeners can kind of remember about the clothing line, your website, the video, and everything else?
Yes, my personal website is ginaaliotti.com or .net, and that's GINAALIOTTI. And then my clothing line is gfitsportswear.com, gfitsportswear.com, and you can find my DVD on my personal website, and I'm also going to be I'm redoing my personal website, so you can stay tuned for that. It's going to still be the ginaaliotti.com or .net, but it's going to have a whole new look to it, and it's going to be a little bit more nutrition related and driven towards recipes and that kind of thing. So I'm really excited about that. And then one final note is I am working on, actually my fiance Michael and I are working on a recipe flip book, so that should be coming out soon. But all those details can always be found on my website. So those are the websites, and I really appreciate you guys having me on your show.
Oh, thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
We got to have you and your dad back, so mention that to your dad.
That would be a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again.
Give your dad a heads up. We're going to be having him on.
Definitely.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks again, Gina.
Thank you, Gina. Look forward to seeing you.
Okay, take care.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Gina Aliotti, IFBB Figure Pro, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
She was the 2006 overall USA's winner and won her first pro show that same year. She also placed third at the Arnold Classic in 2007. But much like her tumultuous amateur career, she placed out of the top five at the Miss Olympia for undisclosed reasons. She was on a mission to redeem herself, and at the 2009 Arnold Classic, she did just that. In the eyes of many, should have been second place, but placed fourth. The person I am talking about is none other than Heather Armbrust. Heather, how you doing there, baby?
Hey, girl. Hi, Christy and Colette.
Hi, Heather.
I have to add one thing to that, Colette, that I did, my first Olympia, I did take fifth.
Okay, you did take fifth.
It was my second one that I messed up severely.
The second.
And took the 14th.
Gotcha, okay.
Right. Yeah, what? So I did eventually get out of the top five pretty far.
which we will talk about later on.
Okay, Heather, you started bodybuilding, Colette told me, when you were just 12. So I was wondering, at that young age, what made you gravitate toward the gym at such a young age?
I had a girlfriend when I was in sixth grade that told me about this cousin she had that owned this gym in my hometown. You have to understand, my hometown is less than 4,000 people in Nebraska. So it was extremely narrow-minded and just small town mindset. And I went with her down to this local gym. She said, oh, my cousin, she's this bodybuilder girl. And I went in there, and I just thought this woman was the most incredible person ever. I looked up to her. I started hanging out at her gym. I would go there after school. You know, she'd give me all her muscle and fitnesses. And, you know, I'm in sixth grade. And this is what was imprinted on me at such a young age. And I loved it. I loved the men. I loved the women. I was like, wow, these people are really cool. How can I be like that?
Well, you know, Heather, I got to say, you know, I love your legs. Everybody loves your legs.
Absolutely.
And I was watching.
Except for me.
I want
that outer quad sweep.
I was being that very schmoist, voyeuristic self that I can be every once in a while. And I'm schmoing around the YouTube, and I'm watching this training video. Because I'm pretty pathetic. But yeah, I always look for different people's training ideas on legs because I try forever to get mine to grow. And I'm looking at your weight training
with Holly.
Yeah, with Holly.
Was it with Holly? Yeah.
It was with Holly, and it was a lot of fun. I'm watching it. I'm just, you know, what I'm looking for is because I'm thinking, okay, how heavy is she going to go? How heavy do I need to go to lift, you know, to get my legs to grow? And you really weren't going insane heavy. I mean, it wasn't like you were there squatting 600 pounds. So no. How do you do it, Heather? Talk to me.
That's just genetics. They really are. I don't, like you said, I don't lift heavy with my legs.
I mean, have you
really
done squats?
Can you do
squats with like 600 pounds? I mean, with those legs,
no.
You
know, I can't even squat 300.
See? I mean,
wow.
I'm not even kidding. I can't. I don't believe you.
I almost don't believe you because, I mean, your quads are sick. I almost think like she's one of those girls that, like, I didn't study for the test and then I get an A. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what? Holly, speaking of Holly, she does that to me too. She never believes what I tell her what I eat, and she will sit there and flat out call me a liar. I'm like, no, really. It's like, oh, you're just saying that so it makes you look better. And it's God honest truth.
I mean, yeah, because you've told me before, you know, we were talking about this. Genetics are genetic. They are what they are. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, because your training style isn't insanely heavy. I mean, right?
Well, upper body, I do have to go, especially off season, I'll go pretty heavy. I don't think it's even as heavy as what you train, Colette. I think you train quite a bit heavier than I do. I couldn't hang with you, probably. As far as intensity, I think I'm up there with the best of them.
Yeah, your workout was
extremely
intense. Yeah.
And I go really fast. I train with super high reps, especially lower body. I train super high reps. So I think it's just, you know, you're who you are.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And you have a certain amount to work with, and it's just bringing out the best of what you have to work with. And that's what I try to do. This past Arnold, actually, we were pretty worried about my legs actually coming in because they were not. But you have to take into consideration, I started this prep at about 17% body fat and no muscle. So I was like, well, maybe if I would have been training legs for the last 3 months after the Olympia, I wouldn't have this problem. But my legs were definitely looking the worst I'd ever seen them.
Well, I thought, me and Christy were in the audience, right or wrong, Christy? We're like...
Oh, we were sitting there in the audience watching you at the night show.
And Christy goes to me,
Arnold.
she's going to win. And I knew better because I know the deal that, I mean, Iris...
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, Christy, I follow female bodybuilding religiously. I'm like, but to a lot of people, Heather, that didn't know that, you know, Iris is Iris, were like, oh my God, you know, the whole balance was there. And we're not just kissing your ass. I mean, anyone that's listening, you really put it together really well.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I felt really good about it myself. And I'm my own worst critic. Anybody that knows me will tell you that. You know, I'm hard as hell on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did feel good about what I brought. And especially, like I said, I started at 11 weeks out. If anybody would have seen me, there's a reason there were no pictures posted of me like I did. I posted an 8. Let me tell you. I posted an 8-week. Well, my husband did it 8 weeks out before the Olympia. And I was really proud of that. I was like, wow, I look great for 8 weeks out. This time, I was literally hiding from everybody at 8 weeks out. I was like, if anybody catches wind of how fat I am right now, they'll be all over that I'll never make it. And I actually did almost back out at 11 weeks out because I just thought, there's just no way you can pull this off, Heather. Get real.
You know,
be realistic.
Sometimes it's those times when you pull shit out of your ass and you just do it, you know? Yeah.
It was definitely all mental. Just pulling my head out of my ass and going, come on, you better do this or else you do not want another Olympia stigma hanging over you.
No.
I was trying to run away from that.
Heather, were you?
I think I pulled it off and I did good and I was really happy with fourth. It was an incredible top six.
Oh, it was.
That's what we were saying, yeah.
Yeah.
They all looked so good. I mean, and Isabel, she placed right out of the top six. She looked great. Everybody looked really great.
Yeah, it was a good Arnold. It definitely was. We were there.
It was impressive, you know. So I was just really happy to get back into the top five and be a part of it.
Yep.
Just learning to appreciate everything more, I guess. Comes with age, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, Heather, you were introduced to bodybuilding at such an age, at 12. Were you always athletic, though, and maybe involved in other sports before you pursued bodybuilding?
Christy, I was the extreme opposite of athletic. I was, you know, so
you weren't on a softball
girly.
Field, Heather?
No.
Because I wasn't.
Nope, I wasn't wearing my baseball gear, softball gear. I remember my next-door neighbor, a girlfriend of mine in my class, played softball, and I was just like, ew, why would you want to do that? That's so boyish. The irony is I lift weights,
right,
you know,
I know.
Kind of for a living. And, you know, now I just never, if I wanted to do something, it was like gymnastics or dance. I took gymnastics and dance for years, and I was into that stuff. But as far as sports, you know, I tried running track in junior high a little bit, and I got shin splints so bad each time that it was just, forget it. I don't want to do this. I couldn't play basketball to save my life. I definitely couldn't play volleyball. It was a mess. So I was just, no.
What about
and I
bowling,
lost interest.
Heather? Bowling.
Bowling. Hey, I was raised in Nebraska. I can bowl a mean, like, 70.
Really? A mean 70?
No. No, I don't even attempt bowling either.
Well,
it's
a
wonder I can even lift weights.
You know, Heather, last week we had a very, you know, deep subject. We talked about eating disorders in our industry. And, you know, you and I are friends, and we talk a little bit, and everybody knows I have a sick peanut butter addiction where I can down a jar in a day. Anyway, but, I mean, Heather, talk to us about what your feelings are about eating disorders in this industry and what you see.
Well, we just got done talking about this, like you said, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, and we both agree that this industry brings out, I hate to say this, but kind of the worst in people when it comes to eating, whether it's an extreme in overeating or undereating and cutting carbs or just binging. I've seen the absolute worst of it, like I said, since I've become a gym owner. In this office, you know, we have so many competitors that come in here and spill their guts, and I hear things that I don't feel quite so alone anymore, for one. I'm like, wow, I'm not the only one. But it's across the board. Everybody I talk to has a struggle with eating, and they toke it up to, it's because I compete, and I have an unhealthy relationship with food. And I would definitely say I'm an extreme problem. I have an extreme problem
with
food.
Tell us about, because me and Chrissy divulged some of our out-of-control behavior. I mean, give us an idea of one of the worst episodes you might have had with, like, a post-contest binge, just so that people know that they're not alone when they've sat there alone in the dark and ate five Trioplex bars with peanut butter smothered all over them, not to mention a thing of chocolate over them.
How about your 100 pieces of sushi?
100 pieces of sushi, done it. So talk to us, Heather. Give us some...
Like I said, Holly and I just did legs yesterday morning, and I said, I've been eating literally. An exception to the fact that I did go on vacation 2 days after we got home from the Arnold's.
Oh,
we left for Cozumel, and we were there for a week, and I ate sickening amounts. I mean, it was bad. And the really bad part was we stayed at a place that the food really wasn't good, and I still managed to gain 24 pounds.
Wow.
But I told her that I've been eating a pint of Haagen-Dazs every morning for breakfast without fail every single morning.
I love you, Heather.
And she goes, you're lying to
was
me.
Was it the fat-free, sugar-free kind?
Hell no. I refuse to buy that shit. I'm not going to waste my money on no
hell
fat.
Hell no.
She's eating the good stuff.
No way.
Sugar-free stuff.
Yuck.
The yogurt, sugar.
The yogurt. Oh, that's the nastiest.
Health food brand.
You know, you just spent 3 months eating,
right.
You know,
oh, God.
Bland stuff. I want the real thing. And then she's telling me I'm lying, and I said, no, it goes past that. I've been averaging 3 pints a day.
Oh, bad, I know.
And
you know,
she's like,
you get caught
that's
in this,
every day.
That's what's happening to me with peanut butter. I go through these... And I just have to, like, it's crazy. I get like I can't make it through the day or something, you know? And it gets really bad. I don't know what is the deal with that. And then it literally can't be in the house. If it's in the house, it's over.
Right.
It's very bizarre.
Do you find yourself stocking up on it?
Oh, I did that. Yeah, I did that once. Yeah, after one of my shows, one of my fans mailed me 4 jars of peanut butter and a gigantic tin of nuts. And I would, like, it's just insane. I think I finished that off in a week. It's disgusting. It really is. It's not. I don't even know how it happened. It just was gone.
I sit there and say this is disgusting too. But at the same time,
you're doing it.
I keep doing it. I can't control it. I'll get up in the middle of the night and eat 5 bowls of cereal, you know, and then I'll get up 3 hours later and I literally stock up on just junk. I'll spend $80 at the grocery store on frozen pizzas, Little Debbie's, and ice cream. And just, I'll have it gone within 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, we can do the extreme. It's like, it's all or none. And I have that behavior a lot, where it's like all or none. When it's ready for a show, then you have to just break those habits, and you do it, and you're like, okay, I'm good, and something, it just... Then after the show's over, you can snap back into these bad behaviors. It's tough. It's a tough thing.
It is tough. And I'm the same way. I'm an extremist. It's all or nothing. I'm either going to go full board and I won't just take a few bites out of the ice cream or a couple donuts. I'm going to eat the whole entire package of whatever it is until it's gone.
See, that's the key, though. That's what I wish I was like. I can't just, it's like if someone's going to give me a dessert, I can't do a bite. You know what I mean?
No. Can't
do a bite.
It's a waste if you just do a bite.
Yep. Those people that can do that, I'm like, how do you just take a freaking bite, put the fork down? You're like, oh, I'm good. You are? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm
not.
I'm okay.
They think
like,
they
I'm full,
are,
but I'm going to eat it anyway.
Give me the spoon, the fork, and the knife, you know?
And my fingers.
Right, and my fingers.
I'm going to get this all in no matter what I have to do.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough because Dylan, you know, he is fine with he'll eat his portion and his meal, and he doesn't want dessert, and I'm sitting there just pounding it all down. And then I feel kind of guilty. I'm sure Dave does not overeat
he never
very
ever.
Much either.
Okay, Heather. Right. Heather, he doesn't eat any. I do all the cooking, you know. And I'm like, Dave, I've never seen him in my life. I've been with him for 6 years. Never seen him eat pizza. Who doesn't want pizza?
He never had pizza.
No, Chrissy, never. When we're at an Italian restaurant, he gets, well, can I have veal cutlet over, you know. I'm like, what? Are you serious?
He just doesn't
really
know what he's missing.
No, he doesn't eat anything. That never eats dessert. He's one of the guys that has a little freaking bite. I'm like, Dave, you can eat this. Why can't you eat it? We are totally opposite eaters. I can go for it. Definitely.
He always eats clean.
Chrissy, what's your husband like?
Well, my husband, he enjoys the yummy stuff like I. We love desserts. We love pizza and pastas. But, you know, once it's competition time, though, we all just stay focused. And we're like, we just can't have it in the house. Because if it's in the house, we're going to eat it.
Right.
So we're the types that say, all right, if we don't buy it and it's not in the house, we're less likely to be tempted. So we do it that way.
But the way I see it, if I don't have to compete, if I'm not dieting, I don't have to be dieting for a show, specifically for a show, I'm going to buy it, and it will be in the house. I promise. I know I'm warping my stepchildren, too, because, you know, they see these extremes. You know, I go from being a crabby dieter to, oh, good, you know, my stepmom's off her diet, so we know there's going to be, you know, extreme amounts of sugar and crap in the house.
They love those.
Yay. We go get ice cream tonight. Yeah, it's bad.
Well, Heather, I know a lot of people always ask me, Chrissy, how heavy do you get in the off season? Do you go off your diet? And I was curious with you, Heather, because you obviously love yummy stuff like I do, like ice cream and stuff. So what is the heaviest that you have ever been off season?
Come on, Heather. I've been bad one time.
I hate admitting this. I've got up to 204. And that, I'm so embarrassed saying that.
Because honest, though, and you're so cute about it. You're like,
yeah.
Who cares?
It wasn't very cute looking like that.
Heather, what all you have to do is say, listen, I was second place at the Arnold Classic 09, so whatever.
Right?
It doesn't, you know.
Listen, I've been on this stage, and I saw a post about, I don't do much of the message board stuff, and we were just joking about this. Phil Heath was in here, and he always gives me crap about what I look like or how big I am. And I was just telling him, I saw a post on the FT board that said something about me being a fat fatty about five times within the post, and how dare I try to compete against Iris Kyle. And I'm thinking, wow, they must have seen those pictures at 204.
Those are the ones. I know. Those are the ones.
But, you know, who are you to call me a fat fatty?
That's what that's painful, because they have no way should they talk about anything, you know, until they've stood in your shoes. No way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And most of them haven't even stepped on a stage.
Exactly. Well, you know.
Exactly.
You know, Heather, let's face it. We waited for you to turn pro. There was all this talk during your amateur career. Oh, when Heather finally turns pro, she's definitely going to make a splash on the scene. And you did it. Okay. So you win the Sacramento Pro. You go on to the Arnold Classic that, like, a few weeks, because that wasn't like in December. Remember they threw that show in? And then a few weeks later, you did the Arnold, placing third there.
1 week later.
One week later. Then you placed third there. So it was all like, oh my gosh, this girl came on with a splash. You know, we'll go into some other things, the crazy disappointment that you had in, what was it, 08? Was it 08?
Yeah, 08. And it's the 07 I did right after the Arnold. I went to my first Olympia and did fifth. I was expecting to do maybe top three at that Olympia, but the huge disappointment.
Then we have, right, 08. So we have this huge disappointment. Then we're in 2009, you get second. Do you, you know, we had Iris
fourth
on it. Fourth, sorry. But in my eyes, second. But anyway, my eyes never matter. But do you ever see, look, Iris is 34 years old, okay? And people are competing up until their 50s. I mean, do you taste the Miss Olympia? Or are you a realist? I mean, do you taste the Miss Olympia? Do you taste the Miss International? Which one do you taste first? And what do you think? I mean, this is kind of a crazy question, because Iris is in a league all of her own. Not that I'm saying you're not in a league all your own, but what does it take to get there? I mean, is that...
Oh, she is. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think everybody can agree on that. And Iris is Iris, and that's all there is to it. However, that being said, Iris lives and breathes bodybuilding.
Yep.
There's the huge difference right there.
Iris
between
is
me and
doing
Iris.
Cardio right now with chicken and broccoli as her next meal.
Exactly. I am not. I will do my I'll admit I do a lot of cardio even off season, but if I didn't, I'd be 304 pounds. So I don't live and breathe it like Iris does. However, I wish I could, because then Iris and I would be on a little bit more level playing field. I am, when I went into doing this Arnold's this year, I put in for it not telling anybody, not even my husband, and I tell my husband everything. I just wanted to keep it hush-hush. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just felt a huge urge to redeem myself because I was so saddened and depressed over what happened and mad at myself. And so I put in for it, and I thought, I didn't even think once getting ready for it that I could possibly qualify for the Olympia. That wasn't even a thought. And then when I'm out there in Columbus a few days before the show, I think, oh, crap, what if you do qualify? Are you prepared to get ready for the Olympia this year? And I just said, you know, let's just play it by ear and see how you feel about it. And after the show, I said, you know, I'm really in a good place for me right now, and I feel good about doing it. So let's do it, and let's actually train straight through and not take the next 3 months off and sit on your butt and work. So I went back into training right as soon as we got home from vacation. Everything's going well other than the ice cream and peanut butter and all the other stuff. But I am going to try my hardest to even out the playing field. However, which one do I taste first is the Miss International.
Yeah, I think you can grab that. I really do. I think
that's a definite possibility. Yeah.
So Heather, let's kind of go deeper into this. You jump onto the scene, you win the pro show, you place third, you place fifth at the Olympia, then they throw you into 14th. I mean, what in the hell did the judges say to you after that? I saw you. You looked great. This is a controversial thing that happened to you. Do you have the true answer? I want you to tell me, because I know you and I spoke really briefly after that about how it felt to go back to your gym as they're saying, you know what, Heather, you just placed, you could possibly be Miss Olympia. I mean, everyone's saying that. It's all over the place, whatever.
It was.
And that's a lot of pressure. Who needs that kind of pressure? And then I know that Phil Heath had done well that year. How did it feel, yeah, going back into that gym and having people just look at you like, because, you know, it's so fair-weathered, which is a bunch of shit. And then what did the judges say to you? You know, you're on the scene, you're jamming, and then you're placing 14th. What do you get from this?
Good question. Very good question. See how well I can answer it.
I know. Oof.
Yeah. It was so depressing what happened, but I knew because I was so inconsistent getting ready for that show. Everything, I deserved that placing because of how I treated myself and everyone around me. You know, I'm a huge believer everything happens for a reason, mm-hmm, and I believe in karma, and I believe that placing, there was a reason behind that, and it had a lot to do with how I was behaving, and I was behaving horrible. I'm the first to admit that. That being said, it still hurt no matter what. You know how bad you were and how horrible you were behaving, but it's still really tough to swallow a 14th when you've never even placed out of the top five in any show, ever.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to handle that, no. And I come back here, and ironically, Phil has a housewarming party, and it was his birthday party also. It was just a week later, and here Phil had done awesome. And I go over there, and I just felt like the biggest loser, you know. I didn't feel like I fit in. Here's all these people that are my people, you know, my friends, my group. And it's so fair-weathered that nobody really had anything to say to me. And I think maybe they probably just didn't know what to say, and I was just not in a good place. I was really down. I didn't really want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to be there at all, period. And I just felt bad about everything. I had written Jim Mannion, and I just said, you know, I couldn't, that show, you have to admit, there was a bad stigma on that show because of everything that had happened.
Oh, no.
Steve Stone's death. There was a lot of stress at that show. So I understand that completely. But I couldn't get really any answers there at the show. And Dave grabbed me and he's like, come on, let's go ask. He was pointing out judges in between the women's night show and men's prejudging. Nobody had time for me. And, you know, Dave was really nice about, you know, hey, go grab that person, go grab that person. I'm so soft-spoken. I'm like, oh, no, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. But I was told that was possibly, you know, some problems with abscesses on me. There were no abscesses on me. I can promise everybody that. And I wrote, like I said, I wrote Jim, and I said, you know, I just really want to know what exactly happened to, I could understand maybe placing me down as far as 10th, but 14th is pretty extreme. I didn't look.
No way.
I think they were just so disappointed in how I looked. Because I was a consistent top five person. I came in looking basically like shit, to be blunt.
And what,
so they're like, well, if she wants to come in looking like this, we're going
to
really give her a slap on the wrist. So I was upset and hurt, but I wasn't mad.
Do you think, Heather, that they judged you harder going into this year's Arnold based on what happened last year?
I think they judged me very fairly.
Okay.
I talked to Sandy afterwards, and, you know, she definitely, I could tell she was happy that I came back looking a lot better. And I think just nobody was impressed with me at the Olympia, and they shouldn't have been. And I think they were just so disappointed, unfortunately, because they were kind of judging me against Heather herself, mm-hmm. you know, that they didn't really know what to think or what to say to me.
Well, I can say a lot of people watching thought you probably had second at the Arnold, and we were just so impressed by your conditioning and just your overall package, and I can't say enough good things about how you looked at that stage that day.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I don't really have, you know, a lot of people have asked me, well, where do you feel like you fell? You know, do you think that you should have been second or third? And money, for the money reason,
yeah, sure.
But it is second, right?
Yeah.
But, gosh, I don't know. Debbie was, honestly, nobody saw that coming, Debbie placing second, but you have to hand it to her. She looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit surprising, but she definitely brought it. And Yexini, I worship Yexini. I think she's amazing. And she's hard to beat, period. Even when she's a little bit off, she's hard to beat. I mean, she's just
well, Heather, in looking at your
beautiful,
you're doing the Olympia, obviously, and I'm looking at your physique. I'm saying to myself, what could I even criticize? I'm not even sure. So when you look at your physique, I mean, you are the ultimate critic. What are you focusing on? What are you doing? What are you going to do different? What's the plan to, you know, make sure that you keep that entitlement, which I think is top three for you at the Olympia?
Definitely my back. My back is my worst body part, period. It's wide. I mean, you can look at any picture, and I'm probably the widest, or, you know,
detail and thickness.
I'm hanging with the widest up there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to just depth, I just have the hardest time, and I lift really, really heavy. I do a lot of deads. I do a lot of bent overs. I mean, I really hammer it. But like I said, I didn't train for 3 months after the Olympia. And I lost tons of muscle. I got really, to me, in my opinion, chubby. So here I was kind of fighting. I was fighting an uphill battle to put on muscle and get thicker. So I'm going to really focus on thickening up my back and really detailing it. Because that's another body part that just loves holding fat, just like my butt. And just dieting harder and just coming in harder all around on the backside. And I think if I do that, I won't have any problems falling into the second place. But, like, you know, obviously beating Iris is...
You never know, unless Iris is off. That's what can happen. If it happens, you know, then that's definitely... Anything is possible in bodybuilding, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've learned that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I'm going to definitely work on my back, and that's what they wanted to see me bring up. Chrissy, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Earlier we were talking about workouts, and I had told Colette that I blasted my calves so hard that I couldn't even walk to the phone fast enough to answer her phone call before. So I was wondering, in terms of workouts, is there anyone that you had that you remember, wow, that was like the best workout, and, you know, what exercise you did in that workout and what made it so memorable?
Not any single one. It's kind of weird. With me, it seems like every other week, say I have a really great back workout 1 week, it seems like the next week might be a little off, and then the next week will be back great again. I used to train with my husband, you know, year-round, every workout. Now I train with our training partner when when Dylan and I did have a training partner, and it was his training partner before he ever met me, I train with just him at night, and Dylan trains in the morning, just so we can work around our shifts. And he's awesome to train with. He's in his 40s. He's been doing this since he was, 17 years old, and it works really, really well for me. And he does not put up with my crap. You know, if I say, I don't really want to do that exercise, do it. And he's pretty vicious to me. If anybody's in the gym and they hear, they don't know us and they hear him talking to me, they'd be like, oh my gosh, why is he talking to her like that? But it works for me, and I just shut up and I do it. And he really challenges me to challenge myself. And, I feel like, if I can train and hang with the guys, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, and I think we need that, someone there to challenge us and push us just a little bit further.
Yeah.
Well, Heather...
Don't we all?
I want you to plug, because not to say that I haven't been a little part of this website, but your Armbrust Pro Gym site, because I want you to talk about your gym. And so definitely plug the website. And then what about the fact that, being a gym owner is demanding. And how has this, helped or hurt your training for a competition?
Well, it definitely hurt this year's Olympia, the 08 Olympia. I didn't know how. We bought the gym just a little over a year ago now. And when we went into this, it had been established here for around 12 years. But it was literally just such a dump. It was it was disgusting. This place was not cared for. The previous owner literally did not even come to work until probably noon every day. He had no employees. You just come and go. He had people that would shut it down for him at night. It was a train wreck. No files, nothing on computer, nothing, no system for anything. So the first 3 months was me working 7 days a week, 14-hour days. And I lost a ton of weight. I got really, really skinny, and I wasn't training, but I didn't get fat either. I just didn't eat. I was working so hard on putting this place together. And so I'm doing that for the first few months, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have this really aligned by the time the Olympia prep comes. I started dieting at 15 or 14 weeks, I believe, for that Olympia, and my body was cruising. I was losing body fat and putting on muscle so quick, it was almost scary. And I was so happy with things at 8 weeks out, but then the problem was I wasn't able to balance out taking care of this gym because it is extremely demanding, mm-hmm. and prepping for a show. I would get angry if somebody would just say good morning to me. I would just be like, don't talk to me.
Right, not a good way to be a gym owner,
No, you can't act like that, you snot. Come on, Heather. I would just be so mad at myself. I'd, Heather, you can't do that. So I really fell apart, and it was around 7-6 weeks out that I started sneaking off to eat. I couldn't sleep at night, so I'd take stuff to help me sleep, and I wouldn't get up in the morning, and it was a bad, bad scene because I didn't know how to balance the two out. I finally got a morning manager in here for this show, and she happens to be a very dear friend of mine, so that was a blessing.
Because you have to be able to trust the person. That's the key about a gym.
Oh, jeez. People are so shady.
Yeah, very.
Oh, and it's so hard to find good employees.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Chris, you have your experience. I have mine. It's like,
Oh, you just never know. You don't. You have to keep such an eye on them for at least, 6 months and even mm-hmm. past that. So you have to really learn how to spread yourself really thin and manage 100 different things at once. But it really helps having my morning manager here. She's amazing. The last 3 weeks, I wouldn't have been able to do it without her because I really got to step away from the gym and really take care of me. So that's been good. And the gym, we've put around 60, maybe a little bit more, 1,000 into it since we bought it. And it's been doing really, really well in such a hard economy. I've been so blessed, and I'm really, really grateful we have an incredible membership base here. Everybody's so cool. It's not like your typical corporate gym by no means. Everybody knows proper gym etiquette, and everybody's so nice.
And Heather,
I love my members.
I should know this, but I do so many of my websites. I can't. It's www.armbrustprogym.com.
Armbrustprogym.com. Okay. And then I had to come to you, and I was like, Colette, do you know anybody? Because I didn't even want to bother you first, because I was like, I know how busy you are.
Yeah, it's okay.
I was like, can you find somebody to help me get this site put together? It's looking
much better, right? We've got an actual site there. I love it.
There's an actual site there. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Colette, you rock.
I'm doing it.
Yeah,
right.
She does.
I don't know how I do it.
I was like, she just whipped it all out in like a matter of a week. I was like, oh, geez, thank you.
I was like, Heather, let's get your ass in gear. Start sending me stuff.
I know. And you know what's so great about working with you, too, is that you just know how to back off and... You know, you knew I was getting ready for the Arnold, and you just said the right things. I was like, this girl just knows.
Yeah,
she just knows. So it helps so much when you have somebody that really is feeling your pain and knowing what you're going through.
Man, I know it.
To work with.
Yep.
Helps so much. So thank you for that, too.
You're awesome.
All right, enough of this awesome stuff.
Enough about
you,
Heather. Let's talk about you.
Right. Enough about me. Let's talk about Heather's legs, Chrissy. No, just
on how I want to steal them?
Yeah, how I want them really bad. Yeah, really bad.
Yeah.
Well, Heather,
I can't even wear pants again. So.
Oh, God. I wish I had that problem, you know?
I wish I could give you that problem.
Right?
I told you that.
No doubt.
I'll take that problem.
Chrissy, why in the world would you want to be any bigger? If I could be 110 pounds, I would take it.
Oh, man, like, okay. We might have to talk, Heather. Man, I just want those legs. I'm trying to grow legs.
It's always quads. Like, if you got curly hair, you want straight. If you got straight, you want curly.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Heather, you have the gym, and it's going really well. You're going back on stage at the Olympia, and we're looking forward to seeing you. But further down the road, like in 10 years or so, where do you see yourself competing, maybe starting a family?
Good question. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Starting a family, I have my stepkids, and I just cannot... I'm so grateful, actually, that I've had the opportunity to have stepchildren because it's given, I think, too many people jump into having kids. I think that's one of our country's problems. There's so many people and kids having kids mm-hmm. out there that I think people should be
screened, and certain people should not be able to have children. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree.
Half of Dave's friends should not be allowed to ever have children.
Yes.
Trust me.
I'm not saying yes to
believe me.
Friends, but just I think people should definitely be screened, and there should be some kind of, I don't know, something you have to go through mm-hmm. to get an okay you
yes.
can do it. You know, we're going to allow you to have children.
Right.
But I think I'd be a really good mom. I think I'm a really good stepmom. I have a great relationship with my stepchildren. But I don't think that I am capable of giving up what I have as far as my time and energy and stuff to put that into somebody else. So I don't know about all that. Maybe around 40. I think people should live their life first and enjoy and do what they want to do, and then if they're ready, great, financially and in every other way. So
I have
maybe
to agree with you.
I don't know.
I just think people put too much, like, you know what, we have the things, times are different. I mean, everyone thinks, you have to have your own children. I mean, you have to. I think that was great, 50s, 60s. I don't know. I mean, I just have a very liberalistic view on this whole thing. I think that you said it
Me
perfectly.
Too.
You got to be ready, and it's not for everyone. It really is not.
Well,
it's not,
like,
and
it's such a huge commitment, and it does change everything.
Oh, it changes everything. One of my girlfriends, actually, I guess this is such a subject for me because one of my really good girlfriends just found out she was pregnant recently, and she's only 28, and I'm like, what are you gonna do?
Oh my gosh!
And she's really scared. She's really scared, and her fiance is saying, This is incredible. This is great. But he doesn't want to think about what they're going to do when the baby comes. Mm-hmm. So he's being kind of unrealistic about it. And I think a lot of people, if they were more realistic about it, they would not have children probably. Because it really changes everything. My trading partner, he's 47, and he just had a baby a year ago. And it's flipped his life upside down.
Totally different.
Yeah. So other than that, I went on my rant about that, how I feel about that. I'm really putting a lot of effort into trying to figure out, I want to open a gym in Mexico.
Oh, cool.
And that is what I'm working on right now. So I'm doing a lot of research and going after a couple investors to have that possibly open by the beginning of 2010.
There's probably not a lot of good gyms down there.
No.
Yeah.
We go down to Cozumel quite a bit in Playa del Carmen area, and we've visited a few of the gyms. There's three in Cozumel that are possibly about 1,000 square feet. They just brought the Ironman Games to Cozumel. They signed a contract for the next 5 years. And it's just, it's paradise. And I thought, you know, who wouldn't want to come down there and train in a really incredible training facility that's a hardcore gym, train in the morning, chill out at the beach during the day, and go have a few Coronas at night at one of the clubs or bars.
Colette and I are there, Heather.
We're there.
Even as you,
are you,
get
are,
the tickets,
I mean,
Chrissy.
Right? Who would want to do that for at least
that's
a week
true.
Or two?
Oh, that's awesome.
I just think it would be a lot of fun, and I really love it down there. I love the
dream
people.
Dream it, Heather. Do it, man. This is we got
I'm
one life.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I really, really, this is something I'm really passionate about. So I'm researching it and working on it, but I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Well, right now, all you have to do, Heather, is focus on the Miss Olympia. You are amazing. You know I'm always here for you. I'm firing up heatherarmbrust.com. We've got
yes.
armbrustprogym.com. You know, we've got how many weeks there till the Olympia? God, who even knows?
Gosh, I don't know. Like 26, is it?
Okay, so you got something plenty like of time, but you got plenty of time, and then there's no time. So keep the dream alive. And I have just one more question, because we're dreaming of getting this comic book on RX Muscle. If you could be a superhero, just one power, what would it be?
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
I want to be able to hear people's thoughts or be invisible.
Oh,
can I? I want to.
She's a.
Those are kind of like.
She's a combo
equal.
Superhero. Invisible.
She wants multiple powers.
And hearing people's thoughts. I love it. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Heather, you're amazing. We love you. And,
thank you, Heather.
I love you guys, too.
We expect
thank you
no
so
less
much.
Than, you know, second place. Now we'll put you up higher on an echelon for the Miss Olympia. Let's do it.
Thanks, girls.
Well, Chrissy, we did it again, baby. Great show.
Another great, you know, great lineup of guests, and we have to thank all of them so much.
Yes, I'd like to thank our guests, Ali Sonoma, Gina Aliotti, and Heather Armbrust for stopping by. And until next week, remember, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RxMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RxMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.